Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace, celebrating 20 years of discipling others through Charis Bible College worldwide. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Monday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I am going to start a brand new series that I've entitled The Effects of Praise. I have this in CD form, also a book, and we will have an As Seen on TV after I make this series. But I tell you, this is something that the Lord has really impressed on my life, and just recently the Lord has been speaking to me again about the importance of this. And so what I do on my TV programs, I just share with you the things that God is sharing with me. You know, I never go to the Lord and say, God, what do you want me to minister to people? What I do is share with you things that have already ministered to me. And this is something that God has been speaking to me. You know, we live in a negative world. We live in a fallen world. And sadly, it seems like that the ungodly are getting more and more prominence. They've taken over the news media. So much of what we hear is all negative. And you have to make a deliberate effort to be positive and to counter this culture that we live in. And the Lord has just been speaking to me a lot about the effects of praise. This is a teaching that I did. I couldn't even tell you how many years ago. I know that these CDs that we had, the old set was made from 10 years ago, I think is the last time I made this. And so we're updating this set. But I've been preaching on this for a very, very long time. This is one of the things that God has spoken into my life as just being absolutely foundational, essential to maintaining a godly balance in your life. As a matter of fact, I've often characterized it this way, that, you know, if a person was to pass out or if something was to happen, one of the very first things that a medical person will do is run up to them and check their pulse to see if their heart's still beating and see if they're alive. And in a sense, if you check your praise life, it's like checking your spiritual pulse. If you are not praising God, and if you don't have a life that is just constantly thanksgiving and praise unto God, you are not spiritually healthy. And I know that by saying that, that there's a lot of people watching this that may take offense and thinking, well, you just don't know my situation. I encourage you to please listen to these programs and also please get these materials, because I believe you're going to find out from a scriptural standpoint that there is no excuse for us not praising God. Now, there are reasons why we don't praise God, but there aren't excuses. I can give you many examples, and we will be dealing with so many things of people that were in terrible situations, situations much worse than the situation you're in, and yet they praised God. And that praise was part of their deliverance. I'm going to be sharing scriptures with you that will show you that you cannot operate in your maximum faith unless you are praising God. Most people want to wait until their faith has already worked, until their problem is over, and then when they've got the answer and everything's good, then they're going to praise God. The scripture teaches just the opposite. Man, there's so many examples. You know, Jesus was walking on the water to go to the disciples, and they were in this crisis situation where it looked like they may drown. The boat was full of water, and it looked like their life was in jeopardy. And Jesus came to him and he says, be of good cheer. You know, why didn't he just still the storm? Why didn't he translate the boat to the other side? And then once the problem was over and once they were on dry land and once everything was secure, then they could be of good cheer. But no, Jesus came to him and in the midst of their situation, before anything changed, he told them to be of good cheer. And that same illustration could be used, I mean, throughout just many, many different things in Scripture. If you are waiting until everything is perfect before you praise God, you are not going to praise God in this life. We live in a fallen world. There's always going to be something bad going on. And if, for some reason, if one of those brief period of times, everything in your life is just perfect at the moment, well, then, you know what? Just breathe for a little while. Hold on. And if you continue to live, there's a problem around the corner. And a person, if they are just waiting until everything is perfect before they are praising God and before they're thankful, then you are not going to be praising God very often. One of the things we will share from Scripture, like Psalms chapter 34, verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. It's something you're supposed to be doing all of the time. Look at this passage here in Philippians chapter 4. And let me just once again put this into its context, that Philippians was a letter that Paul wrote while he was in prison. And he was facing possible execution. He had been in prison for years, and everything in his life was negative. There wasn't very much good. And yet, in this letter from prison, Paul mentioned joy, rejoice, rejoicing, and things like that 17 times in these four little chapters. It was probably one of the happiest books that he ever wrote, talking about praising God, and yet in one of his worst situations. So just by virtue of the fact that here he is writing from prison, and yet he is so positive and telling us to rejoice, is a real commentary on his life and on how we ought to be praising God regardless of what our circumstances are like. Now, I know that there's people that you just think, well, you aren't understanding me. You aren't compassionate. You're condemning me. I'm telling you, that attitude stinks. And I am not saying any of these things to hurt you. I'm saying it to help you. If you are offended by the things that I've said in just these few brief moments as we get started into this, you're the very person that needs to listen to this. I mean, at the very worst, all you could do is listen to it and then say, well, I disagree with everything you say. But I challenge you to listen to this, because this is going to counter that attitude that you have. Paul was in a worse situation than you were, and yet he was praising God more than you are. And I think that there is a lesson to learn from this. So in Philippians chapter 4, he says in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I believe that the reason he repeated this is because if he would have just said, rejoice in the Lord always, there's a lot of people, just like there's many people watching this program right now, who would say, well, he couldn't have meant what he said. I mean, you know, you've got to understand that if you're going through a death in a family, if you're going through a divorce, if you've lost your job, if you are sick and facing possible death, and he just couldn't have meant what he said. And so that nobody would misunderstand him, he said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. In other words, he just emphasized it, and he says, I'm saying always. There is never a single time that we aren't supposed to be praising God and giving thanks unto God. And I know some of you are saying, well, I can see that the Bible says that, but how can you do it when? And then you start looking at your problems again. As we go through this series, I'm going to be showing you how you can do this. I'm going to show you how to overcome all of these negative things that are in your life. But the very first thing is you need to let God's Word be true and every man a liar. That's what Romans 3:4 says. You need to take what God's Word says. And this is a direct command from God through Paul to the people he was writing to, and it applies to you and me today. Regardless of what your situation is, this says you are to rejoice in the Lord always. What part of always do you not understand? This means at all times, in all circumstances, in any situation. Regardless of what you're in, this is a command from God to rejoice. Now I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but there is a difference between joy and rejoice. Joy is a noun. That's a person, place, or thing. Rejoice is a verb. In other words, you may not have something. You may not have joy. You may not feel this, but you can rejoice. You can go ahead and lift your hands. You can start speaking out of your mouth and speaking forth praise, and you can rejoice in any situation. You may not have joy. Now, that's really misleading too, because the truth is that in your born-again spirit, you do have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, etc. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. You always have joy, but you may not have it in your soul. You may not be feeling it, but you can rejoice. There's many times that I have had to just through gritted teeth, I mean in my physical, emotional realm, I was hurting. And yet I just decided that I was going to praise God. And I tell you, this is powerful. I'll get into this in more detail when I go through this series. This series basically can be broken into three parts. The first part that I'm talking about is how praise affects you. The second part is how praise affects the devil. And the third part is how praise affects God. Now, praise is a huge subject. And I mean, the book of Psalms, much of the book of Psalms is just talking about bless the Lord, praise the Lord in His sanctuary, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord, and on and on. We could never cover all of the things in the Word of God that talk about praise and how we're supposed to be worshiping the Lord and entering into His gates with praise and into His courts with songs. We can't cover everything, but I'm going to cover how praise affects you, how it affects the devil, and how it affects God. I'm going to focus on those things. And I'm telling you that when my son died, some of you have heard me give this testimony, but my wife and I, we came in late, like at 2:00 in the morning from an overseas trip. We had just gotten to bed at 4:15. My oldest son called and said, "Dad, I'm sorry to tell you, but Peter," that's my youngest son, "is dead." And I asked him what happened, and I said, "Don't you let anybody touch him till we get there." And we had to get up and get dressed. It was an hour drive into Colorado Springs from our house. And you know what? But our cell phones, we live way out in the country. We didn't even have cell phones back then, but cell phones don't even work out where we live and stuff. And so anyway, we had to just take that news. My wife and I immediately prayed over it. We got dressed. We started driving in, and during a 45-50 minute drive in to town, I started having the same feelings and emotions that any of you would have if you were told that your son was dead. And I started having grief and sorrow and all of these things. And yet, you know, the Scripture says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." I have just made a decision that, praise God, I am not going to gripe and complain. I am not going to focus on the negative. And I am not critical of anybody who does grieve and just is overwhelmed and overcome. I am not critical of you. I understand why it happens. I have felt some of those same things, but I'm saying it is the wrong response. I'm not trying to condemn you or to put you down, but I'm saying that the Scripture says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And I just decided that I was going to rejoice in the Lord. I was not going to grieve. I was not going to become bitter. I was not going to do these things. And I tell you, on the way in, I just out loud started rejoicing in the Lord. Now, I didn't have joy in my born-again spirit, I did, but in my emotions, I didn't feel joy. But I decided that I would rejoice. What I'm trying to do is to show you that you can rejoice. It's a verb. It's something you can do. You can praise God. Out of your mouth, you can say, "Father, I love You. I praise You. You are a good God." And when we were driving in with this news that my son was dead, I just started thanking God, saying, "God, You're a good God. Thank You. You didn't do this. Thank You for giving me the revelation that You don't sovereignly control everything. You did not kill my son, that You are a good God." And I just started praising God. And I'm telling you, I could spend the rest of this program, I'm really wanting to go on to some other things, but when I started praising God, it's just like it primed the pump. It's like all of a sudden it greased the tracks and the power of God started moving and the anointing of God came upon me. And I tell you, faith rose up on the inside of me. This is what it says over in Colossians chapter 2, verse 7, that you abound in faith with thanksgiving. And when I started giving thanks and praise unto God, I tell you, faith just rose up on the inside of me. God brought back to my remembrance prophecies about that boy that hadn't come to pass yet. And I knew that these prophecies were from God. And so that meant that if these were true godly prophecies, which they were, about what would happen with him, and they hadn't come to pass, that meant that he had to live. And I started with no feeling of joy whatsoever, no feeling of praise. But I did it because the Word said to do it. And I started praising God by nothing but faith. And as I did it, all of a sudden this joy and the love and the peace that was in my heart that was in my born-again spirit, it just bubbled to the top. And I tell you, I got so excited, I started laughing and praising God. All of this is after my son died. And I looked over at my wife as we were driving in. I said, this is going to be the greatest miracle that we've ever seen. And when we got into Colorado Springs, my son came rushing out to meet us. And he said, Dad, I don't know what happened, but 5 or 10 minutes after I called you, Peter just sat up and started talking. He was in a morgue. He had been dead for over 4 hours, somewhere between 4 and 5 hours. He was stripped naked. They had already put him in a cooler, had a toe tag on his toe. And after being dead for 4 or 5 hours, he was raised from the dead. And we went in and saw him, and he was talking. He was totally coherent. There was no brain damage, no more than he had before. Praise God. That's what he said when he came back. And I tell you today, it's just awesome. That was in 2001. And I'm telling you, all of this happened because of the power of praise. And there are some of you waiting until your situation is solved, and then you're going to praise God. Anybody can praise God on the other side of the Red Sea. Anybody can praise God after you've come through and after your enemies are destroyed and after everything's just fine. But I'm telling you, it's faith, and it is a high manifestation of faith for you to praise God on this side of the Red Sea when Pharaoh and his armies are still coming down on you, when it looks like you're trapped, when it looks like destruction is going to happen. When you start praising God, that's what sets apart a person who is spiritually mature and an immature Christian. And again, I am not saying any of these things that I'm saying to condemn anybody, to make you feel bad, but you have got to quit drinking the Kool-Aid of our society. You've got to get free from this mindset that has justified failure and all of these things and embraced all of this failure and given us excuses of why we should be depressed, why we should be discouraged. I'm telling you, psychology has done a tremendous amount of damage to our society. And psychology basically says you can't help it. You're in denial if you aren't sitting here sucking your thumb and talking about how bad everything is. Forgive me for being blunt, but man, I've only got a short period of time here on television, and I'm telling you the truth. Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always. I'm saying that you should be rejoicing and praising God. You should be giving thanks regardless of what is going on in your life. And many of you are taking offense. Many of you feel like I'm just stripping away all of your covering, all of your excuses and laying bare and saying it's your fault. And some of you are thinking, I just can't handle thinking it's my fault. Well, until you accept responsibility and recognize that you are not just an elevated animal, you aren't just responding to stimuli. You are a person that is created in the image of God, and you can choose to praise God. I don't care what your situation is like. Until you accept responsibility and quit using excuses, saying it's that woman that you gave me, it's this problem, it's the color of my skin, you don't understand, and quit blaming everybody else and say, I'm going to praise God. I am going to give thanks. I am going to rejoice in the Lord at all times. Until you do that, you are the victim. You will never be a victor until you quit becoming a victim. You're going to have to get rid of these excuses and just do what the Word of God says. That's rejoice in the Lord always. He goes on to say in the next verse, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. In other words, the word careful here is don't be anxious. Don't worry about anything. Again, this is the same thing I've been talking about this whole program. Many people say, well, I don't want to be anxious. I don't want to worry. But, and then they have all of these reasons. They point to this and this, and this is why. This just says don't ever be careful for anything. You know, often when I leave, people will say, well, take care. And my response, usually under my breath, because I'm not trying to be confrontational and stuff, but under my breath, when people say, take care, I'll say, for nothing. I am not going to take care. I am not going to worry. I'm going to cast all of my care upon Him because He cares for me. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Did you know that you should not be praying about your problem unless you do it with thanksgiving? And again, there's many people watching this program who I guarantee you that you take your problems to God and it's just like, you know, you just throw up all over Him. All you do is just throw out all of these gripes, all of this complaint. And yet the Scripture says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. In Matthew chapter 6, when Jesus was talking about how to pray, He said, you say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. You start with praise and then you end it with, For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. You start with praise, you end with praise. And if you do have a problem, well, then slip it in between all of this glory to God. What that does, it puts it into its proper context. The Lord wants to hear what's on your heart. The Lord wants you to come and bring your problems to Him, but it's what I call a sandwich technique. You start with entering into His gates with praise. You end with, For Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. And if you have a problem, well, then stick it in between all of these layers of praise and honor and glory to God. And what it'll do, it'll shrink your problem right down. If you would consciously start praising God and do what this says, don't be careful for anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Don't ever just come before God and throw out all of your gripes and all of your complaints. Always do it with thanksgiving. Always enter His gates with praise. If you would do that, I tell you what, it would transform your life. It would transform the way that you see your answers to prayer come. It would change everything. Praise is one of the most important things that you can do, and I tell you what, there is a lack of praise today, certainly in our society, but even among Christians, there is a lack of praise. And some religious groups actually teach that you should be brokenhearted and you should go around feeling miserable because of how bad everything is. Paul was in prison. Paul was living in a government system that even makes ours look really good in comparison. He was living under Nero, a dictator that was just doing all of these things and professing himself as God. And I mean, it was terrible, ungodly. And yet in that situation, Paul is saying, I will bless the Lord at all times. He says, you always rejoice in the Lord, always. Don't ever pray without thanksgiving. If Paul in his situation could be doing that, you can be doing it today. My vision is just growing. I believe that God has told me that we need a first-class Bible college here that's going to last long after I do, if the Lord tarries. And I believe that we're building for generations. We're building something that is going to change the entire body of Christ and the way that they view the Lord. I am really excited about it, and again, thank you.
Visit awmi.net to watch the most recent Caris Bible College Phase 2 construction update. Thank you, partners. Your support is essential and is impacting lives all over the world through Caris Bible College. Andrew's complete teaching series titled The Effects of Praise is available on either CD or DVD as seen on our daily TV program. Or you can get this teaching in book form. Each is available for a gift of any amount. This entire series is also available for audio download absolutely free from our website. During this teaching series, we're also offering the most recent release from Caris Bible College Worship Ministry. The Best Is Yet to Come features 14 tracks recorded live with the entire student body, including original songs written by Caris Bible College School of Worship students. You can get it on CD or on a DVD that includes lyrics you can use at your church or Bible study. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Go to awmi.net and click on Today's TV Offer to see all the ways you can get the products offered on today's program. The first audio teaching in today's series is titled The Effect of Praise on the Believer. It's available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give But if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first CD free of charge. We'd also like to remind you that we're offering Andrew's latest book titled Don't Limit God for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can use your credit card to order resources through our website at awmi.net. While you're there, you can discover more product details and download additional free resources. Or you can order through our helpline Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, remember you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events. In the month of March, he'll be in Wichita, Kansas, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, Amarillo, Texas, and at the Sanctuary in Woodland Park for both Charis Bible College Campus Days and the Association of Related Ministries International Conference. In April, he'll be back in Woodland Park for a Good Friday celebration and an Easter sunrise service. He'll also be in Orlando, Florida, and in Washington, D.C. And in May, he'll be in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, and in Telford, England. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, visit our website at awmi.net.
I'd like to invite you to come and be with us for our Army Conference. That's the Association of Related Ministries International. We're going to be meeting at our facility in Woodland Park, Colorado on March the 24th through the 26th. This is an association that is designed just to take all of the tools and the resources that God has given me here in this ministry and in our Bible college and make them available to ministers who are either licensed or ordained. We've got people now from all over the world who are a part of this association, and we're going to have Keith Moore ministering with me, and it's going to be a great time. Remember, it's March the 24th through the 26th at our facility in Woodland Park, Colorado. If you've ever had the thought about coming to Charis Bible College, I'd like to invite you to our Campus Days, March the 11th through the 13th. We're going to be holding it at our new Bible College campus in Woodland Park, Colorado, and you'll be hearing the instructors from our Bible College. I'll be ministering. We'll have a great time of praise and worship. We'll be answering questions. Just a lot of things that could provide you with information that could help you to make this all-important decision about whether or not God wants you to come to this Bible college. I believe it's a life changer. It would transform your life. We would love to have you come visit us. Remember, this is March the 11th through the 13th at our facility in Woodland Park, Colorado.